couple of days ago, I was in China. And while there, I was talking to the director of the Institute of World Religions, the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences. And in many ways, he's informing key leaders within the Chinese government on how to relate to religion. And I felt, quite frankly, that he was far more thoughtful in his conduct and remarks than the kinds of people that we are now encountering, the kinds of people that we say in the West are the new village atheists. Look, whether or not you support Barack Obama and his policies or his politics, I would say in like fashion that it's hard not to be impressed by his forthrightness with respect to religious convictions. He says that to say that men and women should not inject their personal morality into public policy debates is a practical absurdity. And I would agree with that. But what he gives with one hand, he takes with the other. Because on the one hand, he voices great respect for religious convictions and for personal morality. But on the other hand, he substantially undermines the foundation on which they're grounded. I've mentioned this before, but in his call to renewal, keynote address to religious leaders, he asked this question: which passages of Scripture should guide our public policy? Should we go with Leviticus, which suggests slavery is okay, which suggests eating shellfish is an abomination? Or do we go with Deuteronomy, which suggests stoning your child if he strays from the faith? Well, I applaud his injection of religious dialogue into public policy debate. I'm obviously appalled by the manner in which he mischaracterizes and marginalizes the Bible in the process. Because nowhere does the Bible suggest that slavery's okay. Nowhere does the Bible suggest stoning a child if he strays away from the faith. And it's worth noting that his mischaracterizations are eerily similar to those voiced by President Bartlett in that once wildly popular television series, The West Wing. In fact, it sounds an awful lot like he spent a great deal of his time listening to President Bartlett. And now it sounds like he's parroting President Bartlett. Not only so, but his mischaracterizations are comparable to those that are now being voiced by a crass new breed of anti-theists who make similar charges, albeit in a far more strident and expanded fashion. One of those, of course, Christopher Hitchens, contributing editor to Vanity Fair, in God Is Not Great, wonderful title, How Religion Poisons Everything, he goes so far as to say that the Bible contains a warrant for trafficking in humans, for ethnic cleansing, for slavery, for bride price, and for indiscriminate massacre. And you've heard in the clip that started this broadcast, Richard Dawkins, who also vacuously asserts that a designer God cannot be used to explain organized complexity because any God who is capable of designing anything would have to be complex enough to demand the same kind of explanation in his own right. And God represents an infinite regress from which he cannot help us to escape, says Dawkins. So the whole argument turns on the familiar question, according to Dawkins, that question being, who made God? Well, not to be outdone, there's Bart Ehrman in our neck of the woods, chair of the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who makes a plethora of accusations against the Bible and its authors. In fact, he deems the very manuscripts preserving the New Testament to be flawed and reasons that we do not have the original autographs but possess only copies of copies centuries removed from the originals, and they contain errors in thousands of places such that there are more differences among our manuscripts than there are words in the New Testament. So he concludes, just as human scribes had copied and changed the text of Scripture, so too human authors originally written the text of Scripture have made mistakes and changed the text of Scripture. And this was a human book, therefore, from beginning to end. In other words, to say that it's divine rather than merely human in origin, as I do on this broadcast over and over again, according to Ehrman, is just dead wrong. Punmeister Bill Maher gets in on the act by effectively characterizing people who hold to the authority of Scripture as those for who all intents and purposes have lost their brains somewhere in the narthex of a church. Now, a major reason why Christianity is so dangerous, according to Maher, is that it stops people from actually thinking. He displays a breathtaking form of idiosyncratic fundamentalist from the left when he asserts that the Bible was not meant to be history, it was not meant to be literal, they were parables. People read it back then and read into it something that was not literal. We're the dummies, he says, who read it literally. Of course, as I will explain later on, he doesn't have the foggiest notion of what it means to read the Bible literally. We don't say that it means that you read something in a wooden literal sense, but we say it means that you read it in the sense in which it's intended. The notion that the Bible is all parabolic displays an ignorant assessment of the most widely read book in the history of the human race. Just a cursory reading through the book shows that it is a rich treasury replete with all kinds of genres. Well, Bill Maher's not done. He's got so many other things to say. The notion of an afterlife, he says, is just plain dumb. He says some other human beings whose brain was no better than theirs told them he knew what happens when you die, and it's pretty silly to believe that when someone tells you he knows what happens when you die, that he really knows what happens when you die, because you can't know what happens when you die. Obama, Hitchens, Dawkins, Ehrman, Maher, they're all just the tip of a proverbial iceberg, and that's the problem. Today you have professors and political sages and public personalities, and increasingly they are raising doubts in the minds of millions concerning the validity of a biblical worldview. And left unchallenged, their smoke screens wreak havoc on Christianity by stumbling seekers and by galvanizing skeptics against the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. In an age in which internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on, it is ever more crucial to know what you believe and why you believe it. All of that to say, we have developed a new product for you when you are confronted with the New Village atheists. Are Christians really ignorant, stupid, brainwashed, or insane? Or is a biblical worldview the only tenable worldview in an age of scientific enlightenment? Think about this for a moment. Bill Maher makes fun of those who believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His basic point is this: how can life come out of death? We all know that that is absurd, and so he mocks the notion that life can come out of death. But think about what he embraces. He embraces the notion that nothing can produce something. He embraces the notion that non-life can produce life. Now, that's a far greater stretch, but he is willing to make it, because if there is no God, we can live life by the dictates of our own will. We are no longer accountable, and we can make the rules. And that's precisely what is at stake today. We are making our own rules on the basis of the size and strength of the latest lobby group, not some objective reference point given to us by the creator of the universe, but our own subjective reference points. We make the rules. That's why you can have Peter Singer today saying that it is not all that bad to conceive of killing a child that is already born as long as you do it within 3 days. In fact, going so far as to say that we can perhaps start thinking about a 28-day period after birth to make the decision with respect to life's worth and viability. Do we really think that this child deserves to live? Once you lose the underpinnings, everything is subject to a great fall. Now, I opened this segment by saying I was in China. And when I went to China, I saw people who are coming out of the universities into the church. And once they embrace Jesus Christ, they are willing to suffer all the indignities that humanity can offer because they genuinely have experienced Christ. And Christ has become more real to them than the very flesh upon their bones. The unfortunate situation in the West is exactly the opposite. Kids are rushing out of the universities into a new atheism. And it's one thing to curse the darkness, it's another to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. And we are committed to building that lighthouse, which means this. We want to put a resource into your hands by which you can become conversant with how to deal with a lot of the objections that I raised in this opening. You need to know how to counter those objections. If you're a parent, your child may come home with these objections. And no answer is tantamount to the notion that there is no answer. We need to be ready to give an answer and use the answer as an opportunity to lead our children back to a tenable worldview. In fact, back to the biblical worldview, which is the DNA of Western civilization, built on the back of Western Christianity. If you excise the soul of Christianity, you have real problems. And we will see in the days to come, as we slide farther and farther into the abyss, how important it was that there was someone like you willing to stand in the gap. But you need the ammunition, and that's why we have produced the booklet, Confronting the New Village Atheists. And it is available right now for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order it online at equip.org, via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or via the phone, 888-7000-CRI. Again, Confronting the New Village Atheists is available right now